right, today we're going to continue our series. It's been a few weeks. We're going to get back into He is Greater. Come on, say, He is Greater. Come on, now turn to your neighbor and say it like you're a guy, the preacher from the Dallas, Texas area. You know who I'm talking about. Say, He is Greater. You guys are preaching this morning. All right. We're going to have a good time today. I hope you're ready as we jump into our series, He is Greater. It's been a few weeks. The first week we talked about God is greater than our weakness. And we discover that it's okay to say I'm weak. It's okay to say I'm having a bad season. It's okay to say I'm going through a tough time in my life. Because when I am weak, Scripture says God is at His strongest in my life. When I'm at my weakest, God has the opportunity to be the strongest in my life. And what we got to realize is they both coexist. I can be weak and still be at my strongest when I admit it. God, I'm weak, but God, thank You that You're strong in my life. We also talked about God is greater than our failure, that we fall into grace, right? We fall into God's grace. What an amazing picture we see that God is greater than our failure. A few weeks ago, Pastor Justin talked about God is greater than our lions. Today, I want to talk about this thought, that He is greater than our uncertainty. God is greater than our uncertainty. Today, we realize this, that there's a lot of uncertainty going on in our world. Our world is forever changing. Our world is forever progressing and changing. How many like change and deal with change? Raise your hands. That's me. I love change. I deal with change. Come on, you're lying through your teeth. Only about three of you here. Anybody else you like change? Not too many people. A few people like change, and usually change is for the better, right? But we have a hard time with it. I mean, I don't like it when they try to send me those updates from my phone. Anybody else have this problem? They send me that update. I'm like, if I download it too soon, it's just going to mess my whole system up. I just learned how to work this computer in my hand, and now they want to send me an update changing things. I know this is just a plot to slow my phone down so I can just buy the next bigger thing. Anybody feel that way? I feel like it's just a plot. They're trying to get my phone to slow down, update it, so I have to upgrade to the next thing. Or when they upgrade your favorite social media page, you're like, I just learned how to navigate, how to post those videos, how to share this, how to quote this. I just learned it all, and now they changed the whole system around. They've been messing with my mind. I don't like it. They're messing with my system. I don't like it. We don't do well with change. Often we really resist change. And today, more than ever, our world is full of change. Our world is full of uncertainty. And when we have uncertainty, things begin to happen, and it causes us to really live on the edge. I see people stressed out all the time about uncertainty in their lives, uncertainty about the economy, uncertainty about their jobs, uncertainty about the world where it stands today, uncertainty about my family, uncertainty, but things are happening all the time around us, and all this change is happening at a rapid pace, and it can cause a lot of uncertainty in our lives. It can cause us to know this, though. I want you to declare it over your life today, that God is greater than our uncertainty. Come on, say it again. God is greater than our uncertainty. Look at what Psalms 102 says. I love this scripture, Psalms 102, verses 25. Long ago, you laid the foundations of the earth and made the heavens with your hands. They will perish. They're going to fade, right? But God, You remain. How long? Forever. But You remain forever. Let's say it together. But You remain forever. One more time. You remain forever. They will wear out like old clothing. You will change them like the garment and discard them. But You, talking about God, You are always the same. You will live forever. So our security is not in the uncertainty. Our security is found that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That God, You will never change. This is where I get my foundation. This is where I get my stability. When I allow myself to be affected by the uncertainty, it causes me to live in doubt. It causes my stress level to go off the charts. And so I've got to learn to get centered right back where God wants me, and say, God, my foundation is found upon you. My security, come on, say, my security is found in God. This is where he wants us to be. I love the quote by Holocaust survivor Corrie Ten Boom. Look what she says. Never be afraid to trust an unknown future to a known God. Isn't that good? Never be afraid to trust an unknown future to a known God. We got to do this. How do we get to this point? How do we get to this point where we can trust our unknown, we can trust the unknown to a known God? Number one, I want you to write this down. We got to learn to amplify God's voice. We got to learn to amplify God's voice. Anxiety has become the number one mental disorder in America. Researchers, doctors now tell us that anxiety has now become the number one mental disorder in America. Some studies say up to 1 in 3 people suffer with some form of anxiety. And many of them, up to 10% of us, suffer to the point where it becomes even a high mental disorder. And why is anxiety at an all-time high in our lives? I think it's because uncertainty is at an all-time high. Change is at an all-time high. Things are happening, causing us, all these voices are coming to us, causing us to stress. The other day, I was helping one of my kids find a job, and they were applying and put their application in. And then the next day, I said, call that store up and ask to talk to the manager and say, hey, this is my name. I filled out an application. And can you tell me whether or not you've had a chance to look over that application and let me know if you're hiring? Why did I do that? Because you want to stand out. Okay. So they get kind of nervous, and they call the store and said, hey, this is my name, and I want to find out if you guys are hiring yet, if you had a chance to look at my application. Well, the manager that takes care of that is working in the other store across town. You need to call there. And so hangs up. Calls across the town, the other store, said, hey, I wanted to find out who I need to find out about. I put my application in here at this store, and I want to find out who's hiring. And they're like, well, we don't hire. We have nothing to do with that store. And they hung up on them. I'm like, well, did you find out? Did you find out who's the person in charge? Did you find out the name of the person who's hiring so you can find out when they work, when you can ask for them by name? I'm like, you got to call and find these things out. And they're like, I can see the anxiety setting in. Also, he says, I'm not an adult. I don't know what I'm doing here, you know. It's just too much pressure, Dad. I'm like, call back up, find the name. So they call back up, found the name, then called that store, asked for that person by name. Sure enough, that person was there, you know, and found out, hey, well, this is my name. Oh, come in this day. I'm going to be doing applications. And came in and got hired because he did a little bit to work through the anxiety. But what I'm saying is this, that anxiety is a thing that naturally comes to us even at a young age. And it seems to be piling up more and more and more in our society today. And so we have got to learn to find ourselves centered in Christ, centered in God, so that we can deal and not let anxiety rule us. And how do we do that? We got to learn to amplify God's voice. We got to make that. Listen, we see this, that with high anxiety, research teaches this thing right here. Go to this next slide. Those who deal with anxiety, they tend to overestimate danger in our life, and they underestimate our resilience. People who suffer with anxiety, they overestimate danger in our lives, and we underestimate our resilience. We overestimate it. We spend our life worried about things and worried about things that will never happen. We've got to learn to rest in who God says we are. We've got to learn to amplify who God says we are. We see this happening. Anxiety amplifies things to our mind. We got to learn to amplify what God is saying. But the problem is this, is that we amplify all the other voices in our mind. We get up daily and we amplify, things will never get better. We amplify, it'll only get worse from here. We amplify, you're out of shape, you're overweight, you'll never get a promotion. Your marriage will never recover. Your children will never come home. We amplify all these things in our life, and we amplify over and over again. We amplify the wrong things in our life, and that's why we live our life in high anxiety. We can't open up social media without people amplifying to us negative context, worry context, divisional context. You can't watch the news without having people try to slant your view, get you anxiety over what's going on in the world today. All these things are piling up upon us, and if we're not careful, we're amplifying those voices instead of God's voice. We're hearing those voices amplified in us. We have to make a conscious effort to amplify the Word of God in our head. Because all these other voices are coming to us. All these other voices are being amplified to us. And they're dominating our thoughts. Listen, you can't let the world amplify so loud in your head that you lose your center of where God wants you to be. My trust is in the Lord. My foundation is in the Lord. I've got to make a conscious effort. It's not going to accidentally happen. It's not going to just fall into place. I've got to make a conscious effort to say things like this. I've got to amplify what God wants to do in my life. God, your word says what? Things are tough, but God, your word says you will never leave me. You will never forsake me. God, your word says, even though I'm under attack, that no weapon formed against me shall prosper in the name of the Lord. God, your word says that all things are possible. God, your word tells me that even though I don't understand the plans right now, and my plans aren't coming together, and people tell me I'll never amount to anything, and people tell me my vision will never come to pass, and people tell me my dreams will never be fulfilled, God, your word says, I know my plans are for you, for a hope and for a future, says God. So I understand. I got to begin to speak and amplify the things of God in my mind. I've got to learn to amplify who God says I am. I can't amplify what the news says about me. I can't amplify what social media says. I can't amplify what a coworker says. God, what does your word say? I've got to learn to amplify. See, some of you need to put the amplified version in your heart today. Have you ever read the amplified version? God said it. Come on now. You got to make it loud and clear that God is speaking to our lives and to our mind. It's up to us. I've got to do this. Look what Isaiah 48 says. The grass withers, the flowers fade, but the word of God stands temporary, right? No. But the word of God stands how long? One more time. How long? Come on, somebody give God a hand clap for that right now. Praise him for that. God, your word stands forever. I got to learn to amplify that in my life. See, look at this quote. I love this. You're like it. Change your choices by changing your voices. Change your choices. Some of you here, I want to make a choice to walk in peace. I want to make a choice not to be dominated by fear. I want to make a choice not to be let anxiety rule my heart. I want to make a choice to make some better decisions going forward. How do I do that? Change your choices by changing your voices. Who's speaking into your mind? What are you allowing to dominate your mind? What are you giving your ear to? I mean, I'm telling you, the news isn't giving us any favors. They never do. They're going to have a political agenda. They're going to continue to cram down your throat, making us think doom and gloom. Social media, you're going to hear people talking about doom and gloom and how the world's falling apart and how there's no justice for anything. All these things are coming out, and the negativity is driving me down. And then you got people who want to give you advice. Let's just talk about that for a second. How many people know? There's lots of people who want to give you their opinion, whether it's on social media. I mean, everybody thinks they're an expert now because they can get a few likes on a post. Come on now. We all know. Some of us are here. We all think we're experts now. I got 16 likes on that post. Yeah. 16 people think I'm right. Finally, somebody hearing my voice. I must have something to say. And it's all great. It's all fun. And we can use it for a fun time. We can use it to encourage people. But there's also people who want to give you their advice. I mean, it's like the person who thinks they know how to give you advice on marriage. He's been married 25 times. You know what I'm talking about? Just saying. Who's got your ear? Who's got your heart? It's like I knew all about, come on, we all knew how to raise kids until we had them. And then we're like, I don't know what I'm doing. It's just crazy, you know. We're all experts until we have them. So, but you notice everybody's an expert on everything. And sometimes you just got to learn to push the negative people out of your mind. You got to push the thing the society's trying to cram down your throat. Clear your mind and say, God, I'm going to begin to amplify what your word says. Listen, we have such a great time in this period we live in that we can be such a shiny, bright light. We can make a difference for the kingdom like never before just by learning to center yourself on who God says we are and not letting society drive us one way or the other, pressure drive us one way or the other. We stay centered on who God says we are. God, I'm going to begin to amplify your voice. God, I'm going to begin to raise your voice in my life. And the second thing I want you to get is this. Number two, aim at God's plan. Come on, turn your name and say, God's plan. There you go. God's plan. Okay, all right. Let me get feeling. I'm holding back right now. Aim at God's plan. See, our plans work out about half the time, don't they? We're about 50-50 in our plans. We're about 50-50 in our predictions. So I can usually predict who's going to win the game about 50% of the time. There's only two teams, guys. Come on. It's there. We're about 50-50, right? You know, we're about 50-50. We predict the future about 50-50. Our plans work out about 50-50 at best. And we got to realize that we got to learn to quit aiming our, see, our plans cause anxiety. Our plans cause stress. So if I want to center on God's plan for my life, then I got to learn to take aim at what God takes aim at. So we're aiming at God's plan. Look at this target up here. As we bring that target up today, we know this, that many times when we aim at a target, we're trying to hit the dead center, right? I mean, if I was telling you to hit that target, you would aim at the red dot, the very dead center. And for many of us, that's where we start off. I'm trying to aim at God's plan, and we want to hit the very center the first time. I mean, we want to be right on, spot on the first time. If not, it causes us to stress out. God, what's your plan? And really, I think we're looking at it from the wrong way. I want you to start looking at God's plan a little bit different. Let me show you. This is how we aim at God's plan. First of all, we need to aim at the overall target. The overall big picture here is simply this, to know God. We got to know God more. You want to know what God's will is for your life? It's to know him more. Jesus was asked, what's the most important things we can do? Remember what he said? Love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. He wants us to love him, to know him in such a great way. He wants us to abandon ourselves and know God at such a deep and intimate level. That's where we start right there. That's where it's at. God wants me to know him. And let me tell you this, that you and I will never understand fully God. What I mean by this, there are so many facets and sides to God. You and I will spend our lifetime and we will never say, I fully understand God. No, there's new things. They're new every morning. We can find out something new about God every morning if I'll just focus on who he is. I see him for the beauty of who he is every morning. I see his love new every day. I see his grace, his mercy, his wonderful hands, his artistry, his creation. I see his purpose. I'm learning who he is, how he operates, how he speaks, how he gives to me. I'm learning something new about him all the time. And we'll never fully comprehend it all. Our minds can't compute it, okay? Our minds can't, we can't handle the truth. We can't handle it all. So what I'm saying is this, we never stop in this aiming. It's always there. I'm always aiming. I'm always pulling the bow back, and I'm looking to know God more. That should be my first target, because if I begin to know God more, then it moves me in a little closer to the target where he wants me to be. And he brings me a little closer. When I love God and I know his will, then I realize this. He told me, after I know him, then I need to learn to love others. Wow, okay. So as I learn to know him, then it brings me in, and now I begin to get centered on how can I love other people? How can I love other people? God, that's where your will is. That's how I find out your will. I know you more, and then I aim at loving other people. Jesus said, love God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, all your strength. And then he said, the second thing is the what? Love your neighbor as yourself. Some versions say that do unto others the way you would want them to do unto you, right? You know, this is pretty radical thinking, because before Jesus ever said this, there was other great philosophers that said things that were similar. And what they said were things like this. They would say, don't do to others what you don't want done to you. That was their philosophy in life. Don't do to others what you don't want done to you. And Jesus came and said, no. I'm going to take it a step further than that. I want you to do. I want you to be proactive. I want you to get out and love others. Love them the way you want to be loved. Do to others the way you would treat anybody yourself. Love people as you love yourself. Get out of your selfish mode and learn to love people. This is what God wants. This is God's will, that I love God, know who he is, and then I aim as I do that. I feel like God wants me to love others. That means I learn to love other people. I learn to love other races. I learn to love people in different social classes than I. I begin to love people from different nations. I begin to love people who look different than I. Can we get a little real this morning? If I'm a disciple of Christ, I cannot be a racist. I cannot be a racist and be a disciple of Jesus, because it goes against everything that he teaches me. It goes against everything that he teaches me. And I'll never get to his ultimate will in my life if I can't learn to love other people. This is hard, isn't it? Because Jesus even took it a step further. He's like, not only prejudice, but I want you to love your enemies. Oh, I hate that one. He said, I want you to love those who do you wrong. Oh, he didn't, but he did. Why? Because he knows if I'll learn to know him, and then I step in and take that next closer shot and begin to love others, he's ultimately bringing me closer to his ultimate will for my life. He wants me to learn to love other people. You see, I have people all the time that ask me, I just want to know God's will. And I got people who spend all their life trying to find out God's will. And I'm like, it's right there. It's right there. This is God's will for my life, that I know him more deeply every day and I love other people. This is God's will. Quit making it so complicated. Pastor, I don't know. I think God maybe wants me to go down and to help children in Mexico who need it. I need to go down there. That's great, but can you help the children across the street? Can you help the kids at the VBS? Oh, yeah. Oh, he just went there. Yes, he did. Oh, God wants me to go help these women. Can you help the women across the whittle now? Can you help people now? Are you seeing? God's will is for me to love people now where I'm at. And when I do that, those giftings become into operation, and they start bringing me closer to the main target where God wants me to be. I have people all the time that say, man, I just want to know God's will. Well, I'll say this. You know what? I just don't want to run ahead of God. I don't want to run ahead of God. I'm like, you must think God is really slow. We're not going to outrun God. I'm just telling you right now. Start loving people. Start loving people. Start loving people. Start loving people. If I can't love my neighbor in here, how am I going to love my neighbor out there? If I can't love my neighbor out there, how am I going to love them in a different country? Not going to happen. I learned to love people where I'm at. Love the difficult coworkers. Oh, that's a hard one. love my enemies now, and it takes me to God's will. I want to know God more. Quit making it so hard. No, quit aiming at the very center and begin to aim at the broad thing that God wants us to do. God, I want to know you more. And as I do that, I move closer to the center of his will by loving other people. Now, how many want to know what God's ultimate will is for your life? Raise your hand. Say, I'm ready for you to go. I'm excited about answer. Who's excited about answer number three? Okay, are you excited? All right, let's reveal answer number three. Here it is. There it is. All right, there you go. The question mark. Because many of you here are like, Pastor, I know I need to love God more. I know I need to love others, but when am I going to get married? I just want to know that right now. When am I going to get married? When am I going to be promoted? When am I going to get my own ministry? When is this going to happen? When's this, you know, we got all these things. And I say this, God doesn't answer that to us. All he says is this, if you'll get to know me, and you begin to love other people, all this will come into shape. And in my timing, it will be revealed to you. But you never get there if you don't start somewhere. You never find out God's will if you just begin to do now. I know there's people I graduated Bible college with who had this mindset. You know, I don't know where to start. No one ever hired me. I got a degree and this and that. And I'm like, you go to church there. Serve where you're at now. 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 And if you serve where you're at now, then God can get you to where he wants you to be. I don't want to miss God's will. Serve where you're at now. That's God's will. To know him deeply. To love others. And as I do that, I can rest without anxiety. I can rest in knowing, all right, God, I'm aiming at the target. God, there's a lot of things that could come into place. You give me a lot of vision, a lot of dreams. And as I begin to know you more deeply, as I just serve and love others, then the other things begin to make room for themselves. And the other things help me to fall into line where I need to be. See, we want to aim for the red dot first. I got to have all the answers. I got to have all the answers first. Then I can love God more. Then I know how to love other people. No, we're doing it the wrong way. We aim from the outside, aim at the big target. And as I aim at that, it begins to slowly take me in as I find God's will. And as I do that, I can rest without anxiety. I can rest knowing, all right, God, your will is right there. I'm amplifying God's voice, and I'm aiming for God's target. This causes anxiety to lower in my life. It allows me to rest knowing I'm imperfectly in the will of God. Look at this last scripture as we close this morning. I love what Hebrews says here in 13. It says, don't love money. Come on, turn to your neighbor and say, money, money, money. Money, money, money. Don't love it. Don't love it. I like it a lot, but don't love it, okay? It's all right to like it. Don't love it. He says, be satisfied what you have. For God has said, this is what God says, I will never fail you. I will never abandon you. So what's our response? The way he says, now our response, so that we can say with confidence is this, the Lord is my helper, so I will have no fear. What can mere people do to me? So I'm going to read God's response, and then I want you to say our response after that out loud with me. God says, I will never fail you. I will never abandon you. And now we say this in response, the Lord is my helper, so I will have no fear. What can mere people do to me? One more time. The Lord is my helper, so I will have no fear. What can mere people do to me? How many think that's a great place to rest yourself today? Amen? Come on, give God a hand clap. Stand on your feet this morning. I want you to just quickly bow your heads as you're standing today, and I want to ask you, maybe you're like the people who were here in the first service. We had many people in the first service who made this decision and say, Pastor, I need to accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Before I can ever worry about aiming for his will, the first aim of my life has got to be that I learn to surrender my heart fully to Jesus. I've never asked him to be Lord of my life. And today I want to do that. We won't do anything to single you out or embarrass you, but we want to give you a chance to respond. If that's you today, say, Pastor, I'm ready to make Jesus Christ Lord of my life. Can you just raise your hand where I can see it and let me know that's you today? Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else today? Thank you. Yeah, thank you. Anybody else today? Raise your hands. Me. I'm ready. I'm ready to make a decision. Thank you. These hands going up. Come on. One more time. If you haven't made that decision, if you did not raise it and you want to raise it, I'm going to ask you one last time. Raise your hand now. That's me. I'm ready to make a decision. All right. This is what we're going to do today. We had many people who raised their hands. So I want you to say this prayer with me out loud as Christians standing around you. We're going to say it out loud with you to help you along. Say, Dear Jesus, I surrender all of my life to you. Thank you for dying on the cross for me. Thank you for forgiving me my sins. I believe you are the Messiah, God's only Son. From this day forward, I will follow after you. I will serve you all of my life in Jesus' name. You prayed that prayer for the first time. We say, welcome to the family of God. Give my hand clap. Yeah, big decision today. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, before you leave today, we're going to invite you to stop by our hub back here, our Central Information Center, and get a free Bible. We'd love to put that in your hands today. How many today say, Pastor, I've been dealing a lot with anxiety and fear. Anybody here? Yeah, come on, it's all right. I've been there. Nothing wrong with that. Listen, a lot of us do, okay? It's all right. We're going to close with this song today. We got plenty of time this morning. I'm letting you out a little bit early, okay? So if you want to step out and come to the front and say, I'm going to step into this song today and say, God, you're greater than my fear. You're greater than my anxiety. I'm going to begin to amplify the voice of God in my head. I'm going to begin to amplify God's voice. I'm going to draw back and let God aim me at his will. Today, if that's you, I want you to step out of your seat and join us around the front as we declare this song. How great, how great, how great is our God. Step in, make room for those coming behind. We sing to the Lord. With your hands raised, I want to pray for you this morning. Father, I thank you. Lord, I thank you, Lord, that this morning, by the name of Jesus Christ and by your power today, God, I speak that you are causing chains of anxiety, fear, uncertainty that had dominated our life. We are saying today, no longer has room to dominate us. That from now on, Father, when we hear things that bring fear, that bring anxiety, we're going to trust in you. We're going to amplify your voice. We're going to amplify your word. We are not going to be dominated by anxiety, but God, we're going to learn to let the Spirit of God dominate our life, lead our life, amplify in our life, so that we can be drawn back and aim at your perfect will for our lives. Father, help us to know you. Help us to love others and be at peace of knowing the rest will fall into line. Because you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. God, you will never leave us. God, you will never change. God, you are always for us. God, you are not leaving us nor abandoning us. God, you are here. And so we rest in you today. Our security is in you today. We rebuke and we define right now that we are children of God. And we rebuke the spirit of anxiety and fear. And I speak freedom today in Jesus' name. Freedom today in Jesus' name. If you receive that prayer, put your hands together and say, God, I receive that over my life today. Come on, give him a praise this morning. I receive that, Father, in Jesus' name. We are not going to be dominated by anxiety. We're going to put ourselves centered right back where God wants us, amplifying his voice, drawing back, aiming for the will of God for our life. God, aiming at your will. And when I'm there, everything else is going to fall into line. Everything else is going to be okay. In Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. I love you guys. Turn around, get someone a high five, a hug, and say it was good to be with you today.